Today we celebrate the feast day of St. Paul of the Cross. And St. Paul was born in 1694 in Italy. And from the very beginning, his holiness was foreseen, that they knew there was something special about him. In fact, even before he was even born, as his mother was in labor, there was this glowing light that came out of the chamber that she was in as she was getting ready to give birth to St. Paul of the Cross. And they knew then and there that something was happening, something was being set aside that was special for this new child. Well, it didn't take long for that to start coming into fruition. From the very early age, it says even as soon as he could even reason, that he immediately started to act very piously, do as many things as he could for the love of God. He was filled with that love of his Creator, and he, even as a small child, was very austere in his life and very serious about the faith. He'd spend long time praying, and he'd do various sacrifices for himself and spend up portions of the night in watchings, and even took the discipline as a youth to himself. And all while going to school, he would do this, and still he was a boarding student at a school taught by a priest. Well, he was very serious about his studies as well and applied himself very fervently, and thus he graduated at the age of 15 as a very good and pious student and returned home. And there it seems we start to see him trying to figure out exactly what should happen with his life. He, while home, he taught catechism, never remaining idle. He helped around the house and the duties that were there, but he also taught catechism to the students, to the children of his local parish. And then, after a little while, this burning desire to serve our Lord in the highest of ways was just constantly present in his own life. And he realized that he wanted to be a martyr. He wanted to die for the sake of Christ, give everything that he could for him. So he decided at that time there was a crusade that was starting up, and so he decided that he'd join the crusade, and so he did. He went off to join the crusade against the Turks at that time, but wasn't long afterwards he returned home, because in his prayers he realized that it wasn't God's will for him to be fighting in the crusade. It wasn't God's will for him to be a soldier, but rather he was to give his life in a totally different way. He was to sacrifice his life for the work of souls. He didn't know how yet. He didn't know by what means that would come about, but he just knew that that was what he was meant to do. And so with that in mind, that one solitary focus, he began to pray even more so. And he had an uncle who was a good and holy priest himself, his uncle was, and saw this young lad and, didn't really have a necessarily a firm position where his life was headed. And so he decided, well, I'll arrange him a marriage. And so he brought, proposed to him this idea of marrying a very good woman, and St. Paul turned it down on face value. And then as the uncle was getting, old and ready to die, he proposed to leave all of his inheritance, which was a wealthy sum, to this young man, to Paul. And he turned that down too. And in the end, the only thing he took from his uncle was his breviary. He took when his uncle died, he took the book of the liturgical prayers that the priests say every day, and he began reciting that himself. Well, it was during this time that he had a vision from heaven, and Our Lady told him that he was to form a religious community dedicated especially to Our Lord's Passion. And so he set out, didn't exactly know how he was going to go about that, but he knew that this was the mission from heaven. And after being with and talking with for a long while his local bishop, the bishop clothed him in a rough black tunic, which was the start of what was going to become his own habit for his religious community. And he was there living as a community of essentially one. And it didn't seem like it was gaining any more traction until finally his own blood brother, John Baptist, was his brother's name, joined him, and they became a community of two. And they went to Rome, and there in Rome, they began to gain influence with people. And finally, the Pope insisted that, you know, if you're going to be a community and you're going to do work for souls, then you have to be ordained. And so he was ordained by Benedict XIII to the priesthood along with his brother. And they began instantaneously knowing exactly what they were to do. They went out and they started preaching all throughout the land, wherever they could go. They went to all these different churches, especially churches removed from like the main sections of the city. And they began preaching these missions to the churches. Some of you might remember what those old missions were like, where they would come in as guest preachers and preach themed sermons to help with people and their spiritual life. And theirs was always themed based around the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. That was their constant focus. And the reason for it, St. Paul of the Cross tells us, was that there is no more certain way to get to heaven than through our Lord's passion, by that constant meditation on our Lord's passion and death upon the cross. And so that's why they went about and preached, and then they set up first one location for themselves, and eventually that grew into many other locations, but the first location that they started living at. And even though they were starting to slowly grow, St. Paul refused to call them monasteries, but rather called these locations retreats. And his purpose for it was because that location was to be a retreat for the priest, if you will. His normal life was one of great time spent in prayer. His normal life was to be one, if you were a member of the Passionist community, was to be one spent in extended time in prayer, extended time in contemplation, because it was necessary in order to be able to go and preach that passion of our Lord well. And so he referred to these locations as retreats, and it was truly a prayerful life that to the point of beyond chanting the entire divine office together as a community, they would spend at least 3 more hours in silent contemplation in chapel, 3 more additional hours to the length of time that it took to chant the communal prayers. And just constantly reflecting upon the things based around our Lord's passion and death, knowing that they were going to reap the fruits of that by going out and preaching. And it worked. Even though the community grew very slowly because of the austerity of life, the harsh penances and the hard way of life, it did start to grow little by little. And our Lord rewarded St. Paul in a very great way by having his missions be successful. All the preachings and all the instructions that he gave all over the place where he went to preach these constant sermons bore great fruits. And he was able to touch even very hardened souls in his preaching. And each and every day as he preached, the fire of love in his heart grew more and more. And it was said of him that he had the gift of tears, a miraculous gift, that he could not keep himself from crying at the thoughts of the pains and sufferings of our Lord. His intense love was so great that at times it often would burn his undershirt that he wore under his cassock. It would burn a hole right through his own shirt. And he also received gifts that were for the use towards others. He had the gift of tongues, being able to preach and everybody hear him in their own language. He was able to read people's hearts, and that is to see what is troubling another individual without them saying anything, and be able to provide them with the advice that they need, whether they spoke of their trials or not to him. And he was able to, when he preached, sometimes his voice would be propelled for miles and miles, and that people you know, great distances away, could still hear the sermons that he was given in a certain town. And he converted a great number of souls to the faith because of all of his work for the salvation of souls and his love of souls and all his preaching, until finally he finally died in the year 1775. So with St. Paul of the Cross, today we have the great honor of having his relic upon our altar, and we'll there'll be a blessing with the relic before we expose the Blessed Sacrament, and you can venerate the relic. But it's a great saint to have for our times, because more than ever, we all need to find ways by our own prayers to be able to touch the hearts of many who need to convert and come back to the faith. And that today, more than ever, we find so many hearts hardened by that. But if our Lord can work a great miracle for St. Paul, then why can't he work miracles in our own lives to help gain souls for the kingdom of God? But it has to start for us, just as it did with St. Paul of the Cross. It has to start with our own devotion and love towards God. It has to start with our own prayerfulness and our own willingness to sacrifice and our own willingness to give of ourselves in order to increase that kingdom, and that own desire for ourselves to foster that love of God, that yes, it probably won't burn a hole in our shirts, but to have that burning there in a spiritual way that leads us to persevere even in those hardest of times, and doing what we know to be most necessary to love and serve God in this life, so that we and others may be able to be happy with him in the next. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.